Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles today, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Revelation. I know a lot of people are interested in Revelation and what it says and the message of it. And of course, the book of Revelation is like every other book of the Bible in one way. It's a book of Christ. And the purpose of God to glorify Himself in the salvation of His people through Christ. And it does speak of future things. It also speaks of present things. But today, what I want to talk to you about from Revelation 7, and the main text is verse 3, but we'll read some others around it, is the sealed servants of God. The sealed servants of God. Now, who are the sealed servants of God? And to make a long story short, so to speak, just to give you an idea of where I'm going with this, the sealed servants of God are those who have been brought by God to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works, and who by the power of God persevere unto the end, because they're preserved by God. That's the sealed servants of God. If you're a true believer, if I'm a true believer, having been chosen of God before the foundation of the world, having been justified in His sight through the blood and the righteousness of Christ, having been redeemed by His blood on the cross, and having been regenerated, born again by the Holy Spirit, brought to faith in Christ, then I'm a sealed servant of God. And so let's look at Revelation 7 to see what we can learn from God's Word. And it says, and after these things, now this, you know, the book of Revelation continues on through in chronological order concerning the seven different things that God, time periods and things that God will do during the last days. And the last days, you know, somebody said to me one time, said, well, we're living in the last days. Well, yes. But the Apostle John, the Apostle Paul, they were living in the last days too. Because the last days refers to the time period of the New Covenant, the New Testament, ranging from the death of Christ all the way to His resurrection and ascension unto the Father, all the way to His second coming. And so the book of Revelation is divided into segments that all which indicate what's taking place during that time. And so he says in verse 1, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. These angels are representatives, messengers of God. And the four corners of the earth, that's symbolic language covering the whole earth. And he says, holding the four winds of the earth. Now, the winds there, we're going to see, has to do with the wrath of God upon this earth. This world is under the sentence of God's wrath. Now, God's people who are in this world, His sealed servants, they're not under His wrath. They're vessels of mercy. And they've never been under His wrath. Sometimes they are chastised, but that's not wrath. That's love, the Scripture tells us. So, but the earth is cursed. The earth is under the sentence of God's wrath, and this earth is headed for destruction, and it's going to take place when Christ comes again. But he says here, he says, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. In other words, this wrath is being held back by God through these four messengers, symbolically, but it's literally being held back because there's a particular time that God has appointed for this wrath to come about. And he says in verse 2, look at this. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Now in the Bible, the east, you know, when the sun rises in the east, that is a symbol of something good coming. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the Scripture tells him, rises in the east. And so that's symbolic of something good. And he says, I saw another angel, another messenger, ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Now, what is this seal? All right, let's read on. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. That is, they were agents of God's wrath. And he says, saying, verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, what is all that talking about? Well, it says this. God has appointed a time that Christ would come the second time, His return, His second coming. And up until that time, God is not going to pour His wrath completely in complete destruction on this world. That's coming. But until Christ comes again, until God's appointed time, God is holding back the full measure of His wrath. We see manifestations of that wrath in all kinds of things, you know, destruction and disease and pestilence, all that. The book of Revelation talks about that. But the fullness of God's wrath that will burn this world up, wherein God will create a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, the fullness of that wrath is being held back by God until every last one of His chosen people are brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. They're sealed in their foreheads. In other words, it's kind of like what 2 Peter chapter 3 says. In verse 9, you know, where he's talking about how some scoffers, they deny that Christ is coming again, that God's going to destroy this world. And he says, and their reasoning goes something like this. Well, the world has always been like it always was. Well, that's a lie. They forgot that God did destroy the world by a flood. He did. That's a literal fact. That's historical. And that's the story of Noah back in Genesis 6, 7, and 8, and 9. Noah and the ark, you know that. So that the earth doesn't remain as it always was. Adam fell in the garden. The earth was created good in goodness without sin, but Adam fell. And then later on, the flood of Noah came. So it hasn't just continued on. I know it's been a long time since Noah's flood till now, but it's still, the fact is that it doesn't remain the same. And then secondly, he tells them in 2 Peter, he says, God doesn't measure time like we do. He says, to God, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Thousand, and we're going to see this in just a moment, thousand is what we call a Hebrew idiom. In other words, it's a word that symbolically stands for a non-specific span of time that only God knows. And I often try to give you an illustration of today. It's like when a man loves a woman or a woman loves a man, and he might say, I'll love you for 1,000 years. And what he means by that is forever and ever and ever. You know, or she'd look at him and say, well, why not 1,001? You know, we use that poetically. Well, the Bible uses that symbolically, 1,000. It's not a literal 1,000 years, for example, or a literal 1,000 people. But it's a number that only God knows. And here he calls it a multitude which no man could number. But until Peter says that God doesn't measure time like we do. We look at 1,000 years, what, man, that's a long time. That's a millennium. But to God, it's a day. A day's 24 hours to us. You know, they pass. And as you get older, they seem to pass so much quicker. But that's the issue. And so he says here that God has a day appointed. But Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, he says, for God is not slack concerning his promise. His promise to save His people and destroy this world and take them into His glory. As some men count slackness, but is not willing that any should perish. Now the any there is not talking about all without exception. It's talking about usward. He's long-suffering to usward. That's God's people. That's the sealed servants. That all should come to repentance. And when they one of the evidences that you've been sealed, all right, the sealed servants of God in their foreheads, one of the evidences that you've been sealed is you believe in Christ and you've repented of dead works and idolatry. Now he says he's going to seal the servants of God in their foreheads. The forehead is the mind. And you can, you know, a lot of the symbolism of Revelation can be determined from the Old Testament. The forehead in the Old Testament was a symbol of the mind. The high priest of Israel had holiness under the Lord on his headpiece over his forehead. And that means when he did his work, especially on the Day of Atonement, that he was to have on his mind that I've got to revere God. This is about God and His glory and His honor. That's what he's talking. We're here to worship God. When you go to a church service, that's what ought to be on your mind. We're here to worship God. We're here to lift up Christ. We're not here to brag on men and to applaud men and to make men and women feel good. I hope preaching the gospel makes you feel good. But people want to hear things that aren't true. The Bible calls that itching ears. They want to hear things that are not, they don't want to hear the hard things of Scripture and even things that turn them off. They want some preacher to scratch that itch by telling them lies, making them feel good about themselves. But the forehead here is the mind. And they're sealed in their minds by the Holy Spirit. Now this sealing is a stamp of identification. And the Bible speaks of it in the preaching of the gospel over in the book of Ephesians. Let me just read this to you. Ephesians chapter 1, where he's talking about the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit. And down here in verse 13, this is Ephesians 1 verse 13. He speaks of Christ in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. That is the gospel of your salvation. If you've heard it, that means the Holy Spirit has given you ears to hear, eyes to see. You see, man by nature will not hear it. They will not believe it. You can hear what I'm saying. But if you remain in spiritual death, dead in trespasses and sin, you won't hear it to believe it. You won't obey it. You won't love it. You won't embrace it. That's why we must be born again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood. And the natural man refers to us as we are naturally born in this world into sin and death. That's why we must be born again. So he says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now have the Holy Spirit stamp you, seal you, identify you, by bringing you to faith in Christ, repentance of dead works, and perseverance by the power of God. Now go back to Revelation 7. Let's read some more scripture here. Now he says in verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Till they've all come to repentance, as Peter says, till they've all been sealed by the Holy Spirit, believing the gospel of their salvation, looking to Christ, resting in Christ, pleading His righteousness, imputed to me, accounted to me as my only ground of salvation. That's what this sealing is. That's how you identify the people of God. That's the stamp. That's what's on their minds, and that's what they express in their evangelism, in their witnessing. The Bible says over in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light there is the gospel. It's the profession of a believing sinner that Christ is my only hope. He's my wisdom. He's my righteousness. He's my sanctification. He's my redemption. I have nothing else to recommend me unto God but Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. That's what that is. That's the light. It's a light that shows that only Christ's blood can wash away my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing else. If you think anything else can wash them away, you haven't been sealed yet in your forehead, in your heart. You can say it that way. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I have no, I have no righteousness before God. Even in my efforts to be a good person, I have no righteousness to earn God's favor, but Christ's righteousness imputed to me. That's the seal. That's the stamp. That's the identification, you see. And that is so sealed in the minds and hearts of God's people that there's three things we can say about it. Listen to this. You cannot deny it. If you've been sealed now, this is the seal, the sealing of God's servants, sealed in their foreheads. If you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, as Christ sends His Spirit to convince the world, His people out of the world, of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. If you've been sealed by the Spirit, if it's written on your heart, if you've been born again by the Spirit, you cannot deny it. Secondly, you cannot ignore it. You can't do that. You can't walk away from it and just act like, well, I didn't hear it. I've had people say, well, I believe it, but I'm going to a church where they don't preach it, and I'm just going to ignore it. You can't do that if you've been sealed. And then thirdly, you cannot leave it. That's what 1 John 2 and 3 is about. You can't leave it. Because number one, Christ will not let you go. That's what He said in John 10 about His sheep. They hear His voice. And they know Him and He knows them and they follow Him. And no one, nothing can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I know that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And what have I committed unto Him? My whole salvation. He said, Christ is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto the Father by Him. So you cannot leave it. He won't let you go. But secondly, you cannot leave it because you've been sealed. You've been born again by the Holy Spirit. And that's what He says in 1 John 3. He that is righteous, doeth righteousness, that is, clings to Christ, cannot forsake Christ totally. Oh, he may fall a little bit. He may get off the track a little bit, but God's not going to let him go. He's going to bring him back. And he will not apostatize. He will not totally forsake Christ because he's been born of God. He's been sealed by the Holy Spirit in his forehead, in his mind, his affections, his will, his heart. Now look at verse 4 of Revelation 7. He says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. Now how many are going to be sealed? He says, there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Well, isn't that interesting? Now some people take that to be literally the national ethnic Israelites. That sometime in the future, there's going to be a literal 144,000 of them saved. And they'll go out through the world and preach the gospel. Well, listen, I'll be the first in line to pray for the salvation of any ethnic Israelite, any Jew. The Israelites, the Jews, they don't believe the Messiah. On the whole, now, there are some who believe. But on the whole, they don't believe that the Messiah has come yet. They don't believe in Christ. I pray for their salvation. The Apostle Paul in his day, he prayed for their salvation. But I don't believe this is talking about national ethnic Israel. I believe it's talking about spiritual Israel, those that have been sealed, Jew and Gentile. The Bible teaches that those who believe in Christ, whether they be ethnically, physically Jews or ethnically, physically Gentiles, they are spiritual Jews. Romans 2, 28 and 29 says that he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. And circumcision is not that which is of the flesh, but that which is of the heart. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. He's been circumcised in the heart. Now, what is that circumcision of the heart? Well, it's the cutting away of the filth of the flesh spiritually from the heart, which means faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. It's the new birth. It's the sealing of the servants of God. And so I can tell you, I am a spiritual Jew. I don't have any ethnic Jewish blood in me, but I'm a spiritual Jew. Now again, I pray for the salvation of Israel, national Israel. I pray for the salvation of America. I pray for the salvation of the Arabs, of the Russians, of the Chinese. I pray for, if God would save them, they wouldn't be our enemies. You understand that? But I don't believe that's what this is talking about in a literal way. It's symbolic. And you say, well, what about the 144,000? Well, the numbers in the book of Revelation are not literal. They're symbolic. Now, there are people who tell you, well, now this number, they'll go through the book of Revelation, and they'll say, well, now this number is literal, and this number is symbolic. Well, what rule of scriptural interpretation do they use to know the difference? They don't have any. It's just what they've been taught from youth up. But 144,000, that's multiples of 12. And the number 12 in Scripture is a symbol of God's government over His church. And it's symbolized in the Old Testament. There were 12 patriarchs. In the New Testament, there were 12 apostles. And these were pillars of the church. And they preach the gospel. And that's what the 144,000 is. So what you have here is 12 times 12. All right, that's the church. And 1,000, which is a number of the Hebrew idiom, a number that only God knows. It's a way of expressing a number that we don't know. And then he goes forth and he mentions the 12 tribes of Israel from verses 5 to verse 8, talking about the 12 sons of Jacob. And they are symbolic of the church. It's a complete church. There's nobody missing. There'll be no vacancies in heaven. There'll be no empty seats. And each one he talks about, they were 12,000. And it goes up 144,000. And these were the sons of Jacob. All right, the sons of Israel. Over in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, The Word of God says, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And who are the sons of Jacob there? They're all of God's people. Spiritual Israel, Jew and Gentile. I know some people don't want to hear that, but that's okay. But here, look at verse 9 of Revelation 7. He says, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people, and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, before Christ, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And verse 10, cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now those are the ones who have been sealed in their foreheads. The sealing of God's servants. What do? They're clothed in white robes. What do you suppose that is? That's the robes of salvation. The robe of righteousness first, which God has imputed to us, the merits of Christ's obedience unto death, the garments of salvation, the garments of His grace that are cleansed by the blood of Christ and presented to God. And they have palms in their hands. What does that mean? That means praise and worship. The people of God who have been sealed in their foreheads, who believe in Christ and rest in Christ, they worship God in spirit and in truth. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, we are the circumcision. Now who's he talking about there? He's talking about those who have been circumcised in heart and ears, Jew and Gentile. We are the circumcision. In the Philippian church, there were both Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And Paul says in Philippians 3:3, we are the circumcision. We're spiritually circumcised. We're spiritual Jews, which worship God in spirit. That is, as guided by the Holy Spirit and from the heart, that God has given us. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, which means we boast in Him. We brag on Christ. We have confidence in Him and have no confidence in the flesh. Those are the ones that have been sealed in their foreheads. And it's a multitude which no man can number. It's not just 144,000. That's symbolic. But it's a multitude which no man can number. How many are there? I don't know. Only God knows. I've heard preachers say, well, there'll be more in heaven than in hell. I don't think the Bible teaches that, but I don't know. I've heard people say that, well, it's the number of the sands of the sea. You know, anytime that term is used, especially back in the book of Isaiah, it's talking about unbelievers. When Isaiah said, and Paul quotes it in Romans chapter 9 and 10, he said, though Israel be as the sands of the sea, there's a remnant. Just a small portion that's going to be saved. A remnant according to the election of grace. God chose a people, Jew and Gentile. And He chose them in grace. He didn't look down through a telescope of time and foresee what they would do. Man by nature will not believe in and choose Christ. That's what the Bible says about us. We're totally depraved. That's what that means. That means we don't have the desire. We want salvation, but we don't want it God's way. We want it our way. See, God's way doesn't leave us any room to glory, to boast. God's way, our way gives us room to glory and boast. But those who've been sealed in their foreheads, they praise God. They worship Christ. They rest in Him. And they repent and turn away from everything that the world holds dear in their natural religion that they think would recommend them unto God. That's the sealed servants of God. It's a multitude which no man can number. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.